Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nida Daf Samach Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur in the middle of Daf Samach Ches. You will notice a Mishnah. Before we begin the Mishnah, let us take note of the topic heading that we have in the outside margin that we call the Nosei. Here we have written, Nida shelo hifrisha betara, hefsek tara b'yoyim hashvi'i. A Nida, this is a woman that has a menstrual blood flow. At that point, she becomes Tamea from the Torah for a period of 7 days. At the end of 7 days, she goes to mikveh the night following the seventh day, and she is Tahora. Generally, in order to establish that the blood flow has stopped, so a woman checks herself by inserting a white checking cloth to the female area of her anatomy, indicating, and upon the withdrawal of the checking cloth, noticing it to be white, she can say that the blood flow, her Nida blood flow, has stopped, thereby entitling her to go to mikveh and become tahora. In this case, we will be speaking about a Nida who did not do that checking and later on discovered something about herself, as we will see in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah itself, you see a couple of triangles. They feature two different scenarios. One is referred to as the Reisha, and the second one is referred to as the Seifa. So now we turn to the Mishnah. Nida shebotka atzmo yoim shvi'i shachris. A Nida, who had 7 days earlier experienced a blood flow, she checked herself on the seventh day in the morning, umotsa tahora, and she found that there is no longer any blood flow. Ubeina shmoshes lo hifrisha. At the point of sundown, she did not do a checking. She didn't do a checking at the point of sundown to establish that at the end of the seventh day, there is no longer any blood flow. But she did do a morning checking. Ula'achar yom imbotko umotza temeya. A number of days passed. She entered what we would call the Ziva period. She checked herself and then found herself to have a stain. In other words, she finds herself to be Tamea. Harehi becheskas tahora. She is considered having the status of Tahora up till that point. In other words, all the interim days between the end of her Nida days and the day that she now discovers herself to be Tamea, they enjoy a status of purity, of Tahara. Bodka atzma b'yoyim shvi shachris. The Nida checked herself in this particular case on the seventh day in the morning and found herself to still be experiencing a blood flow. Ubein hashmoshes lo hifrisha. At sundown she did not do a checking. Ula achar zman bodka umotza tahara. And a number of days passed and she did another checking and found herself to be blood free. Hare zu becheskas temea. She is assumed to be Tamea up till that point. Umetamo me'es la'es, umipkida l'pkida. The Gemara will focus on this line as to what it is referring to, but Rashi already, based on what the Gemara will explain, Rashi already tells us that this is going back on the Reisha, on the first part of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah said, after a number of days, she had checked herself and found herself to be, in fact, Tameah. At that point that she finds herself to be Tameah, even though the Mishnah said she was Becheskas Tahura during the interim days, nevertheless, for the 24 hours prior to the time she discovers herself to be Tameah, she will also have rendered other things to be Tameah. That's Mitama Meis Leis, Omi Pekida LeBekida. There will be retroactive Tumah for the last 24 hours, or till the last checking. V'im yesh lo veses daya shaita. This line also will be the subject of discussion in the Mishnah. But translated, it means that if she has a fixed sighting pattern, so then there will be no retroactive tumah. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Kol Shiloi Hifrisho Betara Min Amincho Lamalo Harezu Becheskas Tameah. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with what we saw earlier in the Mishnah and says that any woman who doesn't check herself on the seventh day in the afternoon, that's Min Amincho Lamalo, so she, in other words, let's say she did a seventh day morning checking alone and found herself to be Tahora, and then a number of days later she finds herself to be Tameah. According to Rabbi Yehuda, she is considered Tameah the whole time because she didn't do an afternoon seventh day checking. The Chachamim are quite extreme in their leniency and claim that if this woman who had been a Nida checked herself on the second day of her Nida period, second out of 7 days, on the second day she checked herself and found that the blood had already stopped, and did not do an Bein Hashmoshes checking on the seventh day, and then a number of days later she checked herself and found herself to be, in fact, having a blood flow, she finds herself to be Tameah, she enjoys a Tahara status regarding all of those interim days until the day she actually finds herself to be Tameah. Rashi summarizes the opinions in this Mishnah, and if you notice, we have a little star in the Rashi, at which point we squiggle underline there the Rashi that says Ushalosh Machloikis Badavar. There are three opinions regarding this matter. L'Tanakama Shvihu Demetarosa B'dika Shachris Avol Sheni Lo. According to the Tanakama, a morning B'dika, a morning checking, if done on the seventh day, will be effective in establishing a Tor status, but not a second day morning checking. In other words, according to the Tanakhama, a premium is placed on the seventh day. According to Rabbi Yehuda, who is an extreme shita in his stringency, he says that even a seventh day checking, if it's done in the morning, is not going to establish a cheskas tahara ad shetafrish bein hashmoshes, until she does a hefsik tahara, a checking done at sundown. Ularabonon basroi afilu b'sheni, and the last rabbinic opinion in the source feels that as long as there is a demonstration of stoppage of blood flow, even if it happens to be on the second day, that is enough to establish a status of tahara. We continue in the Gemara, noting a machlokes Rav and Levi, but as the Gemara unfolds, it won't be clear initially what the machlokes Rav and Levi are going on. what they're referring to. So we have through our markings, by using a double underline with dots in them, you'll see the stages of figuring out, of focusing the machlokas between Rav and Levi. So we first learn their machlokas and then attempt to figure what it's referring to. The Gemara, Itmar Rav, Omar Zova Vadai, the Levi Omar Zova Safek. Rav says that the woman is considered a definite Zova, and Levi says she's considered a Zova, but out of doubt. Well, very nice, but hey, what is that going on? If you were to think that the Machlokas Rav and Levi is a reference to the Reisha, that cannot be. The Reisha said, Harezu Becheskas Tahoira Kotani. The Reisha described a woman that is considered Tahora. So how could Rav and Levi be arguing about her as either a definite Zava or a Sofeg Zava, which are examples of Tomei women, when the Reisha declares her to be Tahora? Elo Asefa. The terms Reisha and Seifa we mentioned earlier were featured through our markings where you see the triangles. So maybe the Machlokas Rav and Levi is going on the Seifa case. Now, what was the Seifa case? A woman who had been a Nida, and she checked herself out on the seventh day in the morning and found blood. What happened between the first day and the seventh day? So that's not clear, but she finds on the seventh day herself to be Tamea, and then a number of days later she checks herself out on and finds herself to be Tahora. So the Mishnah declares her to be Bechezkas Tamea. She's considered Tamea, in other words, up till the day she checks herself and finds herself to be Tahora. We don't know. Maybe she continued having a blood flow. So it's also noteworthy that the first 7 days she has a Nida status, and the following days after the seventh day arrives the Ziva period, a period of 11 days that any blood she sees then would make her into a Zava, either a Zava Katana if it's a 1 or 2 day blood flow, or if it's a consecutive 3 day blood flow, it'd make her into a Zava Gedoyla. So now we have the Machlokas Rav and Levi, and maybe it's to be attached to the Seifa case. The Gemara says, Bishlamo Sofek Zava Aminon. Granted, the opinion of Levi could be understood. Namely, that we're saying that she doesn't have a... You're dealing with a woman that we said checked herself on the seventh day and found the blood continued. Well, what happened after that, we don't know. So, and since there was no hefsik tara, there was no establishment of tara on that seventh day whatsoever, maybe she saw on the eighth day, the ninth day, the tenth day, maybe she had a consecutive sighting of 3 days of blood into the Zivo period. So maybe, that's what we call suffix. So maybe means suffix. Maybe she became a Zava. Ela Zava Vadai Nami? You have to read that with an exclamation. But to say that she's a Zava Vadai, like Rav says, how can you say that about the Seifa case of the Mishnah? Hare Bodko Matsu Tahora. We see in the Mishnah that she did a checking when she was into those Ziva days and did not find a blood flow. So granted, on the seventh day of her Nida, the blood had continued. But we don't know if it continued after that with any certainty. So how could Rav, regarding that, declare her a Zova Vadai? Ella, third stage of analysis. Ella, Kiyatmar de Rav Levi. Rav and Levi, when they stated their positions, Shmaitzo Vapenavsha Itmar, their statements are independent of the Mishnah. They're not comments on the Mishnah. So what's the case? Nida shebot gatzma b'yom hashvi shachris u'motza tamea. A Nida who on her seventh day checked herself and found blood continued to flow. Ubeina shmosha slo hifrisha. at sundown she didn't do a checking to establish the stoppage of the blood. Ula'achar yomin bodka umotza tamea, and after a number of days she checks herself again and finds herself to be tamea. So we have a situation that at the end of the nida period the blood had continued. We find a number of days into the zava period there is evidence of blood flow through the checking that she did. Rav Omar Zava Vadai, the Levi Omar Zava Safek. Now, an explanation. Rav Omar Zava Vadai, Kevon Demi'ikora Nimseis Temeah, since at the outset, namely at the seventh day, there was blood flow, the Achshav Nimseis Temeah, and now into the Zava period, she finds herself also to be Temeah. Temeah Vadai. If at the beginning there's evidence of a blood flow, at the end of the period of time there's an evidence of a blood flow, so we assume everything in the interim where there was also blood flow, so you would have an assumed consecutive days of blood flow making her into a Zava. As Rav said, a Zava Vadai. The Levi Omar Zava Sofek Zava. There is still doubt. Amar Posko Beni Ubeni. I can say that she stopped the blood. The blood flow stopped in the interim days. We now continue at the top of Omid Beis. V'chein Tono Levi B'masniso. Levi was a scholar, was a rabbinic figure who also authored Tanaic sources. And hence it says Levi also taught in a Tanaic source, which says Achar Hayomim Bein Bodka Umotza Tahora Bein Bodka Umotza Tamea Harezu Safek Zava. This Tanaic source of Levi is in effect a continuation of the Seifa of the Mishnah, which described the woman who had been a Nida who checked herself on the seventh day in the Shacharis in the morning and found herself Tamea. Did not check herself at the end of that seventh day. There wasn't a hefsik tara. A number of days passed. Whether she checked herself after those few days, found herself tohora, found no more blood, or even if she found herself to having a blood flow, she is at worst considered a suffik zava and not a vadai zava. That reflects Levi's opinion. Umetama meis leis. We saw this expression in the Mishnah. In fact, if you note to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, we have a little arrow which indicates to look back to Omid Aleph so that you can see where this quote is coming from in the Mishnah. As we look at this quote in the Mishnah, it would seem at first glance to be going to be a continuation of the Seifa of the woman who checked herself on the seventh day in the morning and found herself to be Temeah, and then did not do any checking at the sundown. A number of days went by, and as we said, she's into her Zava period of time, and found herself to be without blood flow. So we say she's Becheskas Temea. And the Mishnah said, Metama Me'es Le'es Umepkila Pkida. The Gemara. Lema Tevi Tufta De Rova. Let us say that this Mishnah, can we say that this Mishnah repudiates Rova? The Omar Rava, Loimar She'ein Ho'isha Metama Me'es Le'es B'soch Yemei Zivasa. Rava said back in on Daf Lamed Tes, the Mishnah had taught there that during the 11 days of the Yemei Ziva, she's Becheskas Tahara. What does that mean, that during the 11 days she's Becheskas Tahara? Rava commented on that it would mean that if she were to have a blood sighting during those 11 days, there would be no retroactive Tumah. In other words, in contrast with a blood sighting during the blood sighting that establishes her as a nida, where there is retroactive tuma, 24 hours retroactive tuma, not so in the case of the Yud Aleph Yemei Ziva, the 11 Ziva days. In our Mishnah, we saw the statement of Mitama Me'es Le'es, and we said that that's going on the Reisha. What does that mean, it's going on the Reisha? In the Reisha case, the woman who had checked herself on the seventh day and found herself to be Tahora, a number of days later, meaning in the Ziva days, during the Ziva days, she checked herself out and found herself to be Tameya. Regarding that, the Mishnah says, Metama Me'es Le'es, that there is retroactive Tumah regarding what? Regarding that checking, that revealed blood during the Ziva days. What did Rava say about a sighting during Ziva days? Rava said that the Mishnah back on Lamed Tes would tell you that the woman is not Metama Me'es Le'es. There is no retroactive Tumah during the Ziva days. And here we are saying, our Mishnah is saying that there is retroactive Tumah for a blood sighting during the Ziva days. So, does it not appear that our Mishnah then repudiates Rava? The Gemara says back and says, Valav usavine l'Rava chadazina. Wasn't Rava already repudiated? So, why are you suggesting that this Mishnah represents a tufta to Rava when he was already rejected? The Gemara says, Hochi Kwarminon. What I mean to say is as follows, Lemo teve tufta de Rava nami meha. Let this be an additional refutation of Rava. Well, that far we are not going to go. Omar loch Rava, ki kotoni mitames leis. Rava says that the expression in our Mishnah of Metama Me'es Le'es is not going on the Reisha of our Mishnah, but rather it's an expression that reflects back a Reish Pirkin Koi. It's going back to a teaching found at the very beginning of our Perek, which spoke about a Ruasa the Oidub of Esavia, speaking about a woman who was getting married, a woman who had reached the age of seeing blood flows. In other words, she was above 12 years old and she had already experienced a blood flow in her father's house, and the Mishnah there had taught that she is entitled to a night of intimacy, that we will ascribe any blood flow to the breaking of the membrane. Before going on in the Gemara, let's take a look at the Rashi. Aresh Pirkin Koi. Rasavi Oida Bevesavia. Basil Omrim Kol Halayla Shela. A girl who had reached, we'll say, reached maturity, then gets married, and she has intimacy with her new husband. We entitle her to an entire night of intimacy, regardless of any blood flow, being that we can ascribe it to the breaking of the membrane that had originally established her virginity. The Ka'omar, and it says, the im ra'asola acharmikan, if she has a blood flow after that night, then metama me'es le'es, there will be that blood flow manifestation will be something that will metama retroactively 24 hours. In other words, the first night of intimacy is considered tome free, because it's the blood there is associated with the breaking of the membrane. But beyond that, when she has her next sighting after that, that will be tome me'es leis. So regarding that, is in other words, our Mishnah is telling us that point. The Gemara continues, Salka Daita Chamina, without this Mishnah, I would have thought concerning that case, this story featured at the beginning of the Perek, Kevon Demifsiki Lehu Yomim Tahirin, since there were blood-free days, in other words, the girl got married, had intimacy, and then after the intimacy there was no blood. There was after the intimacy, meaning after that night, there was a few days where there was no blood flow. I would have thought, Ketchilas Nidosa Damya, the Lotetamame Slais, that we are going to view this girl as her first Nida experience. Rashi says, Kibsulas Domim, like a woman having her first Nida experience. In other words, it's true that it's a girl that had been Ruah Savir Beisavia. She had a blood flow when she was by her father's house, but in the meantime, she got married, had her first night of intimacy, a few days went by, and then she experienced a blood flow. So I might have thought to view her as a first-time Nida and not declare any retroactive Tumah. Komash Malon, our Mishnah tells us that we do not say that, but rather there is retroactive Tumah. And it seems to me, very simply, because this is a girl that, after all, did have a blood flow when she was still in her father's house before she got married. The Gemara continues. Im yesh lo veses. Let's take a look at the Rashi across from here. This is, of course, a quote from the Mishnah. Im yesh lo veses, kosalka daitoch. The thought right now is, asefa demasnisin koi, that this im yesh lo veses is a comment on the seifa of the Mishnah, the Kotoni that had taught, achar hayomim bodko umotso temea, mitame meis leis. This is the woman that had checked herself, that had been a Nida. She had checked herself out on the seventh day in the morning, found herself to be Tamea. Didn't do a Hefsik Tara, and a number of days later, she checked herself out and did not see any blood flow. So, it continued, let's say, we have to be a little more accurate, it continued in the Mishnah, saying after that, Umetama Meis Leis, that was the case that we said reflected back onto the ratio where she had checked herself out a number of days later, after the seventh checking where she found herself to be Tahora, but checked herself out several days later and found herself with a blood flow. So we said that she was Becheskes Taro. However, there would be retroactive Tumah based on that for that last checking. That was Metame Meis Leis. And now, regarding that, the Mishnah says that if Rashi goes on to say, V'im yesh lo veses kavua le'achar yomim dainu yimei zivav rasa boi daya shaita, that if that woman who checked herself out the several days later into the Yemei Ziva and found herself to be Tamea, if she happened to have a Veses, a fixed pattern of sightings, of blood sightings, then there will be no retroactive Tumah. So we're describing a woman who's checking herself during the Yemei Ziva, finding herself to be now Tamea. There is retroactive Tumah, 24-hour retroactive Tumah, but if she has a Veses, then Dayo Shaita, then no retroactive Tumah. Now the Gemara says, with all that in mind, Neimo Tevei Tufta the Rav Huna Bar Chiya Omar Shmuel. This would seem to repudiate Rav Huna's teaching. The Omar Rav Huna Bar Chiya Omar Shmuel, Loimar, he is a quote on that which had been taught elsewhere, but he says, She'ein ho'isha koivas lo veses bimezi vasa, that patterns of blood sightings are not to be established during the ziva period. Yet we are describing a woman who is doing a checking during her ziva period, and we're saying that if she has a veses, which would mean that we have a pattern established during Yemei Ziva, that there is no retroactive Tumah. So that is contrary to what Rav Huna says. Omar loch Rav Huna bar Chiya. Rav Huna will answer, Ki amrinon ein isha kevas lo veses bimezi vosa. when we say this principle, that a woman does not establish a pattern during Yemei Ziva, all that we mean to say by that is, the lobayo tlosa zimni lemeaker, that unlike a regular veses, in order to uproot it, to discount it, you would have to have three times the veses arriving and no blood flow. In the case of a veses that happens during the Yemei Ziva, a pattern that's established during the Yemei Ziva, we wouldn't apply the high standard having three times go by, but rather, we don't require three times going by without the blood flow, and even with a one-time passage, we will say we don't have to suspect that pattern anymore. And why do we apply this lenient standard? The Amrino Domeha Misulokin, during the Ziva period, we assume her to be without blood flow. The Kevan de Domeha Misulokin Dayo Shaitan, since she is considered Domeha Misulokin without blood flow, she has a sort of assumed status of non-blood flow, so that when the pattern that had been established passes, she skips one time and it doesn't recur, so we say that the pattern is undone, and since she has this status of Domeha Misulokin, when she has a pattern that was established during the Yemei Ziva, and she sees blood, we can say Dayo Shaita. We don't have to say we don't have to apply the din of retroactive tumah. So if we can sort of like restate this or paraphrase what we've said, simply saying that the appearance of blood during the Yemei Ziva is sort of unexpected. So that even though she may have a pattern of seeing blood during the Yemei Ziva, nevertheless, it's not a serious enough or significant enough period of time of blood appearance that we should need to apply the higher or the stricter approach of retroactive tumah, and therefore we say im yesh lo veses dayo shaita, no retroactive tumah. Let's glance at the Rashi, who explains this. Omar Loch Shmuel, Rashi across from here, Ki Amri Ano Lekula, that which I said of Ein Isha Kavasla Vesis Bimei Zivasa, it is a leniency. The Lobo Ino Tla Zimni Limeakre, that we don't require three times of its passing without appearing in order to uproot it. The Hakatoni Kol Yud Aleph, all 11 days of the Ziva period, Becheskes Taro, she has a Taro status, Dainu Kula. This is a leniency, the Domem is Sulakin. Avalainian Daya Shaita, Kol Shekain, the Have Vesis. But as far as applying the non-retroactive standard, we will say she certainly does have a Vesis, the Hod Domem is Sulakin. Because of this status or assumption of Domeha Misulokin, it makes it all the easier for us to say no retroactive tumah. Turning back to the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Tanya, Omru Lo Rabbi Yehuda. Now, let's just restate Rabbi Yehuda's position. He spoke about a woman who was a Nida that did not do a Hefsik Tara. She didn't establish the stoppage of blood flow specifically at sundown of the seventh day. If you didn't do it, if you didn't do it then, so, or let's put it this way, according to Rebut, if you did it only in the morning of the seventh day, so it's not sufficient. If we look back at the Mishnah, we see Rebut said, Kol shelo efrisha b'tara min ha-mincha l'mala reza b'cheskes t'meya. That any woman who didn't do a hefsik tara, a checking on the seventh day in the afternoon, so it's not, the woman is considered not having achieved a tahara status. it was the Tanakama who had said that a checking during the seventh day in the morning and a revelation of Tara is sufficient to grant her a Tahara status. Rabbi Yehuda said, if it's not in the afternoon, so it's not worth anything. So now the Gemara continues with a Brisa, where you see a give and take between the Tanoim on this topic. And in our, under our no say heading in the margin, we have written Zman Hefsik Tara, the time for this checking to establish the stoppage of blood. Hefsik is stoppage, Tara to establish non-blood flow. Machloikas Tanoim, we have a Tanaic controversy. Dafka biyom zayim and amilcha malos, specifically on the seventh day in the afternoon, or you have afilu lifnei yom shvi, or even before that. So now the Tanaic source Tanya omru lo Rebbe Yehuda. The others, the scholars that disagreed with him, said to Rebbe Yehuda, il moli yadel munachos beinel kol bein hashmoshes yofe ato imer. The expression here is an expression of a euphemistic nature. The term Eineha literally means her eyes, but it means in that part of the female anatomy. And they say to him that if it were so that a woman is has her hands there literally, or her checking cloth there all through the Bein Hashmoshes. The Bein Hashmoshes is the period, the transition period from day to night. The period we can say in English is dusk. If her checking were done throughout that Bein Hashmoshes period, then Yofe Ata Oimer. Then we understand your position of insisting on a late seventh day checking. You want to have the complete. You want to have a solid evidence that there was no blood at the end of the seventh day. However, you don't require that. Achshav, but now all you say is from min haminchol amalo means from afternoon onwards, the checking is enough to establish Tara. Amar, I would say, according to what you hold, im siluk yadel roasa, maybe she did a checking, let's say, 2 in the afternoon on the seventh day, and as she pulled away the checking cloth, that revealed no blood, but right after that, there was a recurrence of a blood flow. That's im siluk yadel roasa. Mali hifrisho betaro bezayin, min amincho lamalo, mali hifrisho betaro berishon. Well, as far as you are concerned, what difference does it make whether she stops, whether she's mafrish betara on the seventh day at 2 in the afternoon, or on the first day of her nida period? In other words, even according to you, you don't have absolute solid evidence that the 7 days went by without blood flow. That, in other words, that at the end of the seventh day there was no blood flow, because in order to establish that you would have to have this suggestion of a checking done at dusk of the seventh day, but you don't insist on that, so you don't establish that the blood stopped for sure during the 7 days. And since you have this, let's say, this gap or this opening, why wouldn't we allow a hefsik tara on the first day? The Gemara asks on this suggestion, Barishon mi iko lamando amar, a hefsik tara on the first day? Is there anyone that says that? When you look at the Mishnah, you see an opinion that says if she was mafsik betara on the second day, she could establish a tara status. But on the first day, on the day that she became anida, would anyone say that you can establish a tara status, a stoppage of blood, on that day? The Gemara says, in V'hot Tanya, yes, we will show you. There is a Tanaic opinion that in fact entertains that possibility. Before we go on, just to emphasize the seriousness of this question, Rashi explains that even the Rabbonin Basroi, who spoke about the second day as a means of establishing Tara, they chose that specifically or conscientiously, because the first day, that's the day that her blood source had been open. That's what we call psichas mayona. And once that day is established as a day of blood flow, no one would say that that very same day could be established as tohor. And yet, the Gemara here is saying, yes, there is someone that says just that. And we continue in the Gemara. Omar Rebbe, Sho'alti is Rebbe Yosi v'Rebbe Shimon, Kishu Mahalchum B'derech. Rebbe says, I met these Tanoim, Rebbe Yosi, Rebbe Shimon, on the road. Nida Shebot Gatzmo Yoim Zayin Shachris Umotza Tahira. A Nida who checked herself on the seventh day in the morning and found herself to be blood free. Ubein Ashmoshes Lo Yifrisha, and dusk of the seventh day, she did not check herself. Ulachar Hayomim Bodko Motza Tamea Mao, and after a number of days passed, she checked herself and found herself to be Tamea. What is the din? Omru Li, they told me Harezu Becheskas Tahara. The woman has a Tahara status until that very day that she finds blood. So that at this point, a checking on the seventh day of the Nida days and showing Tahara, even though it was seventh in the morning, that is sufficient to establish a non-blood flow status. I then asked, says Rebbe, Shishi, the sixth day. What about a checking on the sixth day? Chamishi, the fifth day. Revi, Shlishi, Sheni, even on the second day. My, what would the din be? Omru Li, Loi Shna, and they said, no, the same halacha will apply. That if she checks herself on any of these days, the 6th, 5th, 4th, 3rd, or even 2nd day of her Nida days, and finds herself to be blood free, in other words, the checking cloth reveals no red marks, so she is considered Tahora. But Rishon Lo Sha'alti, Rebbe declares that I didn't ask them about the first day. What if she would have checked herself on the very day that she started the blood flow? Let's say later that day, that first day, she discovered the blood flow stopped. But I didn't ask them about that. And that was a mistake on my part for not asking about that. Had I asked about that, they would have certainly said she is Tahora. In other words, she has a Chezkas Tahara. Let's not make a mistake that, let's make it very clear, the woman is Tamea for 7 days. But as far as a Chezkas Tahara is concerned, which has benefit for us on the following the days that after the Nida, the 7 Nida days, could she have established a Cheskas Tahara regarding those days by a checking on the first day? So Rebbe is saying, yeah, I should have asked about that. They certainly would have said it does establish a blood-free status. Otu kulhu lav b'cheskas tuma kaimi v'keva de posak. Is it not so that all the other days, being that she's a nida, she has a tuma status, and yet the checking accomplishes this to establish stoppage of blood flow? Rishonami, the first day as well, keva de posak. Once we can establish the stoppage of a blood flow, that can be accomplished through the checking on the first day as well. So here we have the point being that the Gemara had asked before, is there someone that would say a first day checking could establish a Hefsik Tahara with regard to the post Nida days? The answer is yes. Here we just learned there is an opinion like that. The Gemara asks, Umei Kora Mai Sovar. At the outset, why did he not want to ask about the first day? What was the Svara to think that the first day is different? The Gemara answers, like we saw before in the Rashi, Hayul V'Huchsuk Mayon Posuach. Since that is the very day that the Mayon, Mayon is the source of blood, had opened, the flow had started that day, it would be very unlikely that that day could also be established as a day of stoppage. But nevertheless, that's only a havamina. As far as the Maskona is concerned, that wouldn't bother us. And she could have established a stoppage status even on the first day. The Mishnah. Before before we learn the Mishnah, we glance at the Nosei, the topic heading in the outside margin, where we have written, Bedikos shel Yemei Tara shel Zav Vizova, Gimel Shitos Tanoim. In this Mishnah, we'll speak about a Zav and a Zova. A Zav is a man that had a male-type emission, not a standard Shifazera emission, but another kind of emission. If he has it, if he has two of them, two on the same day, or two, one on each of two consecutive days, he will then be Tomei for 7 days. And during those 7 days, he is expected to check himself to make sure that there is no more flow. With regard to a Zava, this is a woman who experiences three consecutive blood flow days after the Nidah period, after the Zayin Yemei Nidah passed, for the next 11 days. If she has, during those 11 days, three consecutive blood flow days, she becomes a Zava, thereby obligating her to observe 7 clean days each day. Optimally, each day she should check herself to make sure that there is no blood flow. In fact, a morning checking and an evening checking should be done. We'll say an early morning checking and a late afternoon checking. The Mishnah here speaks about the presents three shitas of Tanoim, each one of whom is dealing with what we call a b'dievet situation, where she didn't check herself on each one of the 7 days. What is the din? So, Hazova Zova Shebotku Atzmon B'yoim Rishain U'motzoi Tohor. They checked themselves on the first of the 7 clean days, and she found herself to be, they found themselves to be without fluid flow. U'b'yom Shvi, and they checked as well on the 7th day, U'motzoi Tohor. During the interim days, the 2nd through 6th days, they didn't do any checking. Rabbi Lezer Omer Hare Hein Becheskes Tahor. Rabbi Lezer says they have established themselves to be Tahorim, and then they've basically done what they need to do as far as Rabbi Lezer is concerned. We're not, again, talking about the best way, but we're talking about what is the bottom line. So as far as Rabbi Lezer is concerned, they have passed the test, so to speak, and they are considered Tahorim. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Ein Lohem Elo Yoyim Rishon V'yom Shvi Bilvad. Rabbi Yeshua says they get credit for 2 days only. In other words, they check themselves on 2 days, so they get credit for 2 days. And they'll need to observe another 5 days. Rabbi Akiva Oimer Ein Lohem Elo Yoyim Zayin Bilvad. Rabbi Akiva says that we can give them credit only for the 7th day. True, there was a checking on the first of the clean days, first of the Shivi Nikiyim, but we don't know what happened after that checking, so we can't. And we should have said earlier, but it's maybe obvious that when we speak about 7 clean days, we mean 7 consecutive clean days, and that if there's a blood sighting in the case of the woman in the middle of those clean days, she loses whatever counting she had done till that point. So Rabbi Akiva says, I don't know what happened in those interim days. Maybe there was a blood sighting, so we can't give her credit for anything other than the 7th day. So she gets 1 day of credit and will have to observe another 6 consecutive Tohor days. The Gemara, Tanya, Omar Loi Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Lezer, who said that the checking on 1st and 7th day is sufficient to establish Tahara, said to Rabbi Yeshua, who said that you get credit only for 2 days, Lidvorecha, according to you, Atamoina the Sirugin, you who are giving her 2 days of credit, you're saying the 1st day, Tahor. The middle days, well, we can't consider her Torah, so not getting any clean credit for that. 7th day, yes. So the counting is in a Sirugin fashion, and Sirugin would mean in an interrupted fashion. V'ha v'atur omra, but yet the Torah says acharei titar, and that pasuk teaches us achar achar lekulan, which means shalote tumu mafsek es beinehem, that you can't have the 7 days counted in an interrupted fashion. There can't be any tumah between them. And the way you are approaching it, it seems that you're saying that even though there is suspected tumah in the interim, it doesn't bother us, and we can in fact count the first and seventh days alone. Omar lo Rabbi Yeshua, v'ato yato moideh. But and he's Rabbi Yeshua says back to your blesser, you do you not agree? Do you not concede that there is precedent for this interrupted type counting, where we give credit for something before and credit of Tara for something afterwards? Do you not moideh bezav shiro keri ubenozir shaholach shehilech schoch supros shemoineh besirugin? We should point out that the case of Zav Shara Keri is a Zav who is Tomei for 7 days. Namely, he has 7 clean days he must observe. He starts counting his 7 clean days, and then in the middle of the 7 clean days, he has a semen emission, Shichva Zera, that's Keri. And the halacha is that he loses that day toward his 7-day clean days and resumes his counting afterwards. So you have a situation where you have precedent for interrupted counting. Likewise, the nazir, a nazir is someone who took upon himself the vow of abstinence from wine and is expected to abstain from any Tumas Mace exposure. He is a nazir, and he's walking along, and he finds himself under some overhangings, the schochel supros, those are abutments, or things that are abutting from a wall or trees, and there's a suffix that there's a kever, a grave, under one of these abutments, and he passes under them. And the halacha regarding the nazir is that he who has to observe 30 days of nazirus, this exposure to the suffek tumas mace, this causes him to stop his counting and picks it up afterwards. Rashi says, Nozir shosapros shehein suffek oihel. So that day that he walked under these abutments doesn't count toward his nazirus, doesn't count toward his 30 days. So he picks up his counting after that day, though. So we see counting in an interrupted fashion. So that, why should you not agree with me, says Rabbi Yoshua, my opinion of giving her credit of the first day and the seventh day, and not credit for the interim days. So now Rabbi Elazar responds. Rabbi Elazar, who didn't want to accept Rabbi Yeshua's approach, what does Rabbi Elazar say to the two examples or precedent setters that Rabbi Yeshua cited? Rabbi Elazar, he responds, Bishlamo Hasam, I understand there in the Aleph case, the case of the Keri that appears during the 7 Nikiyim of Azav, the Pasuk says, Litoma va Omrachmona, She'eno Soiseres Elo Yoma, that Keri has the power of undoing only one day. In other words, there's a Torah reference to this phenomenon. It's a special reference to the case of Keri. Keri is different, so that you can't use Keri as a precedent setter when you have a specific scriptural reference to it as being that way. But that doesn't apply to other things. V'i mishum ichlufi, and if you'll say that a person will be led to a mistake, namely that if we allow interrupted counting in the case of a Keri sighting, so you'll allow an interrupted counting in the case of a Zov sighting, which is really not true. Zav bedal Keri lo michlif. People won't confuse a Zov sighting, which, if it happens during the 7 clean days, it totally undoes whatever counting had taken place till that point. But Zav, the Balkeri, lo michav, people won't confuse them. So that Rabbi Eliezer is insisting that we have an example of interrupted counting in the case of Keri, but we don't have interrupted countings in the case of other things. Likewise, Nozir Shilich Agabi Schochas Uprois, the Nozir that had exposed himself to the Sufik Tumas Meis, Nami Midoraisa Oyom Alya Be'inan, from a Torah level, in order to interrupt the Nazirus, to undo the counting that a Nazir did toward the completion of his 30-day Nazir period, the only thing that undoes that is definitive Tumas Meis. That's Oyel Ma'alya, a certain case whereby I know that under this roof there is a corpse, and I, the Nazir, am under the roof at the same time. That's a real oil case. The Rabbonon who the Gozer, the Rabbonon made a gzera regarding the cases of Sufek Tumas Meis, the Schochos and Pros cases, where we don't know for sure under which branch or under which rock jutting out from the wall there was a grave. So there they made a gzera that the Nazir loses one day of his 30 days of counting. Rabbonin midoraisa lo michlif, and there I can say there's interrupted counting, but that's a function of tuma de rabbonin. Rabbinic rulings will not lead me to make mistakes regarding Torah cases. Avol hocha, but in our case of the shiva nikiyim of the zav and zava. If we're going to go like you, Rabbi Yoshua, that says we have to discount the middle days because maybe there was a blood flow, and as a result of that, we can't give them credit for those interim days, but we will give them credit for the day before and the day after, in other words, the days that they did check. Well, asoy lichlufi bevadai. People will confuse that with a case of an actual sighting and say that if there was a definite sighting, nevertheless, we will give them credit for the days, for the day before and the day after. And that would be a very big mistake. Because in the case of a definite sighting during those interim days, that totally undoes whatever Tahara had been counted. So, just to repeat this last point that Rabbi Eliezer is making, to Rabbi Yeshua, if we're going to go like your approach that's willing to, on the one hand, give credit for the clean day before, even though you are suspecting there may have been blood after that, that will lead people to conclude that even if there was a definite blood sighting after the clean day that had been established, they will then as well not lose credit for the clean day that they had counted before, and that would be a very grave mistake. Tony, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon, Amri, Nirin Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, Midivrei Rabbi Yeshua. These Tanoim say we prefer. It seems more logical to go like Rabbi Eliezer than to go like Rabbi Yeshua. The Divrei Rabbi Akiva Medivrei Kulan, and the most logical approach would be that of Rabbi Akiva giving credit only for the last day that they did, that they had checked, that seventh day, and give them one day's credit toward the seven clean days. Avon halacha kirebi Eliezer, but the halacha will follow that of Rabbi Eliezer, who says that a checking at the beginning and a checking at the end that showed Tara is enough to establish a total tohor status. Ibaya laho. The Gemara asks a question. Before we learn the question, let's glance at the introductory note that we have on the margin. Tatnose, a subtopic. Rabbi Eliezer, bedikas zava v'yoyim aleph v'yoyim ches. What about a zava who needs to check to establish Shiva Nikayam, but she checks on the first day and on the eighth day. She didn't check on the seventh day. Ibailo Hazava Zova Shebotku Atzmon Yoim Rishon V'Yoim Shmini. In other words, the Yemei Sfira passed, and there was no checking at the end of the seven-day unit. There was a checking on the first day, but there wasn't an established checking. There wasn't a checking that established Tara on the seventh day, but there was a checking on the eighth day. And there, on the eighth day, there was revealed that there was no blood. Ushar Hayomim Lo Bodku. In the interim days, there was no checking. Continuing at the top of Daf Samach Tes, Le Rebbe Eliezer Mahu. According to Rebbe Eliezer, how should we rule? Once again, Rebbe Eliezer was the opinion, as Rashi reminds us, that says a checking on the first and seventh days was enough to establish tahara. What would he say in this case? And the question is broken down or presented with its two sides, and we note that with our Aleph, and then the squiggle-lined Old Dilma expression, base. The two sides of the question are as follows. Tchilosan v'soifon bo'inon, v'hocha tchilosan iko soifon leka. Is his opinion based on the need to have the beginning and end established as Tahor, beginning of the seven and the end of the seven? And in this case, you have the beginning, but you don't have the end. And therefore, this case, this situation, is not going to establish Tara. Or, maybe, according to Rebbe Eliezer, it's sufficient that you have the a Tohar status or a demonstration of Tara at the beginning, even though you don't have it at the end. That is the question. So, Omar Rav. Rav says, and in our markings, you'll notice that we have a diamond around Rav. This is in anticipation of a second comment of Rav made, a second position or presentation of Rav made later. So the diamonds will be used to contrast the comments of Rav. However, at this point in the Gemara, we also underline Rav to contrast him with Rabbi Chanino, who appears right underneath. So Rav says, this too, Rabbi Eliezer would say, is tohor. That if you have a demonstration of Tara at the beginning, even though you don't have it at the end of the 7 days, it's enough to have an establishment of Tara at the beginning. V'Rabbi Chanino, Omar, Tchiloson, V'Soifon, Bo'inon. Rabbi Chanino says that Rabbi Eliezer would be of the opinion. Rav and Rabbi Chanina are Amoroyim that are commenting here, and Rabbi Chanina says that you need to have at the beginning and the end. Hocha, Tchilos Saniko, Soifon Leko. And here, you have an establishment of Tara at the beginning, but not at the end. Meisvei, the Gemara raises an objection, and we will see shortly after the learning of this Tanaic source, the objection is raised against Rav. The source says v'shoven. V'shoven means there is agreement amongst authorities that otherwise were arguing. V'shoven b'zavu b'zova shebat guatzmon yom rishon v'yom shmini u'motzui tohar. The very case we are dealing with. They checked themselves out on the first and eighth days, found no blood. She'ein lohem elo shmini b'vad. In their attempt to establish Shiva Nikayim, they are going to get credit only for one day, namely the eighth day checking. Man shoven, when the term shoven is used, they agree. Who is this a reference to? Lav Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua. Is it not a reference to these two Tanoim who had been arguing before here, in this case where the second checking is done on the eighth day as opposed to the seventh day? They will agree. Even Rabbi Eliezer, whose name we dashed underline, will agree that there is no establishment of Tahara. And that would be a Kashan Rav. Rav said that as long as you have the beginning, even though you don't have the end, that's enough. Here you see it's not enough. Loi, no Kasha on Rav. Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Akiva, the Tanoim referred to here
are a reference to Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva, two names that we had seen earlier, but Rabbi Eliezer is not part of this source. Therefore, as far as Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, Rav maintains his ground that a checking on the first of the clean days and on the eighth of the clean days, she is considered tahora, because all you need is an establishment of tahora on the first of those days. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.